Welcome to Real Talk Friday with your hosts Rohan Das and Gus Urban.
In this groundbreaking podcast segment, we delve deep into the lives of individuals whose journey has been profoundly transformed by their faith. From the trial of adversity to the triumph of redemption, we explore real stories, real people, whose encounter with God has reshaped their existence.
Join us as we embark on a candid and enlightening journey where authenticity meets spirituality every Friday on Real Talk Friday, part of Logan City Christian Church.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Real Talk Friday. I'm glad you joined us. Today we have a really special guest and we have so much stories for you and definitely such great testimony, not only his, but you know, other people too, that he's going to share some testimonies of people. I'll give it to Gus introduce him because Gus knows him better than me.
Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for joining us again. Steve Swenson, thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on. A friend to us, a friend to my parents especially, and this church. But yeah, it's just an honor to have you on, representing Open Doors.
So
we're very excited to hear what you have to say.
Oh, it's a privilege to be here. Actually, a surprise to be here.
Okay.
Now that I know there's cameras involved, I thought, people have told me I've got a good head for radio, but I'm mad.
Very good.
So, tell us quickly what Open Doors is all about before we dive into your story.
Sure.
Just because, you know, I think it's very interesting because I got to know about Open Doors fairly recently. And I've thoroughly enjoyed some of the videos that were being played. And we have a video for you guys about Helen. And I really loved that video, so I thought I would just put that in our segment. But quickly tell us what Open Doors is all about.
Okay, well, the mission of Open Doors is to serve the persecuted and strengthen the church. By persecuted, I don't mean, you know, like when we go home from church on Sunday and our neighbor's mowing the lawn or hosing the lawn and goes, oh, how was your happy clapper service today? People who are facing extreme violence and persecution for being followers of Jesus Christ around the world. And our role is to serve them and strengthen the church in those countries, but here in Australia as well. And we do that in many ways, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
For sure. So talk us through about this video that's going to be showed on the, you know, of course on Spotify and YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, you're definitely going to see this beautiful video, and on Spotify, you've got to go on YouTube to watch it. But you'll definitely hear the sound, but it's a great video to watch. So talk us through about this Helen story. What's that all about?
Well, in some countries, it's not illegal to be a Christian, but it's very much illegal to share your faith. And Helen lives in Eritrea. It's a country where it isn't illegal to be a Christian, but very definitely illegal to share your faith. But she decided that she would sing Christian songs basically on the steps of her church. And what that cost her was 32 months in a shipping container where they tried to torture her to renounce her faith. And to renounce her belief in Jesus Christ with a tool that was meant to kill her. But as you'll see in her testimony, just a powerful testimony of God's sustaining power and victorious power in her life. She made it through, but you know, it was so cold that they would freeze at night in the shipping container, and during the heat of the day it would burn their skin. This is the type of persecution that Open Doors, we work with those beautiful people on the ground to strengthen them in the face of that. And but that's the story of Helen. I told it very poorly. The video tells it a whole lot better. She's an absolute hero of faith.
Absolutely.
Well, let's watch the video now of Helen.
Hi, it's Helen. I'm safe now. Who can preach the gospel? The answer is simple. Anyone who is not afraid to die. I was in that shipping container for 32 months. In the heat of desert day, the walls would burn our skin. In the night, we shook from the cold. I remember the story of Paul and Silas. Like them, I began to sing. The guards try to stop me, but I keep singing and keep preaching the good news to anyone who would listen. They tried everything. They torture me with a tool meant to kill. Their goal was for me to deny my faith. Stop saying Jesus. All I could answer was, I cannot. I accept him unto death. But your prayers carried me through. I would tell the other prisoners, people are praying for us. I can feel it. The name of Jesus is medicine, and the world desperately needs it. Our brothers and sisters are still in prison. While we eat, they have no food. While we are free, they are in chains. We can do more. Keep on praying. Keep on supporting. Keep on singing. Your sister in Christ, Helen.
Oh, that's an amazing video, wasn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah, incredible. I love watching this. I cannot, it doesn't get old for me.
No, I feel convicted.
Yeah. So. But thank you for showing us that video through Open Doors.
Yeah.
So we want to now get to know who you are.
Sure.
And what's your position at Open Doors, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I'm a church relationship manager.
Okay.
So my role is to spend time with church leaders and churches just to tell the stories and the great things that God is doing in the lives of persecuted believers. I want to make sure that I tell it the way I believe they would want us to.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oftentimes we can tell a story and it becomes very negative and, you know, woe is us. The thing that I found even in a recent visit to a Southeast Asian country was they want us to pray for them, they want us to remember them, and they want us to tell their story, but they very much believe in the power of God in the midst of their trial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yes, our hearts need to be moved with the urgency of the need to support and strengthen these believers, but also to see God's power working in and through their lives.
Okay.
And even through their death in some cases.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So my role is to go around and visit churches and pastors to tell them the story, to garner prayer support and also financial resource to send to support our workers in the field.
Yeah.
We work in over 70 countries around the world right now.
Yeah,
and
wow.
And, you know, there's 8 billion people on planet Earth right now.
Yeah.
2 billion of those, approximately, are Christians. 365 million of those face extreme, violent persecution and pressure every single day for being followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Wind that down a little bit further, that's 1 in 7 Christians on the face of the earth today are facing that sort of pressure.
That's a huge number.
It is. You know, if you were to get your church on Sunday to stand every seventh person up and identify, this is what a picture of what persecution is like for followers of Jesus Christ in the world.
Yeah.
And so our role is to work with the church in the West to pray and to raise finance to support these people as they stand for Jesus in these countries.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, talking about stories, I'm sure you have a story of your own and a testimony that's brought you so far to do what you're doing right now. Let's talk about your early childhood days. Did you grow up in a Christian family, or how were you introduced to this Christian faith?
Yeah, so my parents were pastors. My biological dad, you'll understand why I called him that in a moment. My biological dad, my mum went through Bible college and followed the call of Jesus. They were from Queensland here, but followed the call of God to pastor a church in South Australia. They did that for a few years and then felt the call of God to plant churches and so went to country Victoria to plant a church. While working there, my dad, who was a panel beater by trade, because they couldn't afford to pay them while they did that, he would do up cars. And my mum and myself and my older sister were in Queensland on a holiday with my mum's family. Yep. My dad stayed back to look after the church, and just he was doing up a car. He was working under a car, and the jacks gave way. And he was welding at the time, and he was crushed and burnt to death.
Oh.
I was 2.5 years old. So, you know, grew up in Christian family. You know, some people would say, well, where was God in all of that? Again, there's some questions we will never know this side of eternity.
That's
but
right. Yeah.
My mum packed up, moved back to Queensland with her family, and started a home. You know, a lot of people would withdraw and just get on with life.
Yeah, yeah.
She was also carrying a baby at the time, which died. I had a little brother who died in that process. But there's an amazing testimony in that we don't have time to go into today.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But God sustained my mum through that, and she wanted to just sow back her life back into serving others. So she started a home for Teen Challenge, a discipleship home for women.
Wow.
Who are coming out of, you know, either abusive situations, alcohol and drug dependency, or prostitution. And she would work with Teen Challenge workers in our home. And so I was about 4 or 5 at the time, and I was the man of the house. And we had sometimes up to 12 of us living in a home. I remember one house we were living in, we only had one bath, no shower. And one of the rules was living in our house that everybody had to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah, cool.
And so getting all these people ready for church with a bath. and, you know, but during that time, my mum met a guy who was volunteering in a man's facility around the corner,
yep.
same sort of home.
Yep.
And that happened to be a guy named Gary Swenson.
Mm-hmm.
And there must have been a Barry White record playing at the time. And they saw each other across a room. And he chose to ask my mum to marry him. And that was a big deal because he was, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, he was 9 years younger than my mum.
Yeah, wow.
He was only 19 at the time. She was 28.
Really?
A widow with 2 children.
Yeah.
He was taking on a 5-year-old boy and a 7-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And they got married. And
Wow.
out of that, they continued to run the girls' home for a while and then took on a church and pastored a church over on the north side of Brisbane, an Assemblies of God church, and did that for the next 19 and a half years. And that's how I grew up as a pastor's kid. Two dads, both pastors.
Wow.
And I don't call my dad my stepdad only to explain who he is.
Yeah.
But I recently was able to share on Father's Day about both of my dads, my biological dad,
mm-hmm.
and the DNA that I've received from him, and the spiritual DNA I received from him.
Yeah.
But then also honor my dad now, Gary.
Yeah.
Because he didn't only choose my mum, he chose us.
That's right.
And it's a bit of a picture of what Christ's done for us, you know.
Yeah.
He says, "You didn't choose me; I chose you."
Yeah.
So that's my upbringing. And my Christian faith, even though I was made to go to church, I wasn't interested till I was probably about 15.
Yeah.
I used to sit there and get the look from my mum. I knew I was in trouble when I got home. What an incredible heritage and privilege that I've had to be raised in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, what an incredible story. I think to look at the choice your mother made, Do I give up on life or everything, which is a very common choice. But yeah, to actually go on with the things of God, and some people want to blame someone. What an incredible woman.
Yeah, she is actually my hero of faith.
Yeah, I could totally understand.
Who's your faith hero? And they expect you to say somebody out of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's my mum.
Yeah, totally.
You know, because the baby that she was carrying when my dad died, the thing that she was so upset about at the time was that he would never get to see this child.
Yeah.
And was born a boy. My dad's name was David, so she named him David, even though he was stillborn.
Yeah.
And she had a dream, some will say a vision, dream, whatever, from God when they had a bit of a memorial service for him, but because of everything she'd been through, the doctors basically sedated her and said, you know, you probably shouldn't go. But while this was happening, she had this dream of her standing one side of the cross with this baby in her arms, Jesus standing at the foot of the cross, and her husband, my dad, David, standing the other side of the cross. And Jesus says to her in this dream, he will raise, my dad will raise his namesake. Now, I don't even know if that's theologically sound. But she handed little David to Jesus. He walked to the foot of the cross and handed him to my dad.
Wow.
And he held him the other side of the cross.
Yep.
That just gave her a peace in the midst of that to keep going.
Yep.
There were times, no doubt, that she felt like, and she's told us, that there were times she thought, oh, it'd just be easier to end it all.
Yeah.
But she said, I can't do that because of God's call on my life and because of the children that I have here to raise.
That's unbelievable.
And so, you know, and you don't know, I mean, for all of us, three of us sitting here, the people that are listening today, we don't know the power of even a text message we send to somebody to encourage them.
True.
Or, you know, telling one part of our story that to us might even seem a story of brokenness, but we're still going. My mum's story is one of brokenness, that God's power has been made perfect in her weakness.
Exactly right. Mm.
And there's been lives transformed through that testimony. So
Oh, I could imagine.
Yeah, so imagine. She's my hero of faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that I can be that strong in the adversity that I have faced and will face, because, you know, the Bible doesn't promise we won't.
No, no, that's right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
And the more I drill down into the persecution that Christians face, I realise there's a whole side of the gospel that often is overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, our prayer life often is more about, you know, rubbing the lamp, you know. God, I'm rubbing the lamp. Give me three wishes.
Yeah.
And if he somehow does what we ask, then our faith is strong. But, you know, that I guess we'd call that, not rubbing the lamp faith, but we'd call that mountain-moving faith.
Yeah.
But then there's this whole other end of faith, which is called enduring faith, where we don't yet see what we believe, but we still believe.
Exactly.
And, you know, my mum believes in a God who heals and protects and all these things. Yet in the midst of that, my dad passed away, but she still believes in a God who heals, protects, has a destiny for our life.
Yeah.
And so do I.
Yeah, amazing.
And I may not see what I believe sometimes, but I still believe, because what's the other option?
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
For myself, growing up in church, to go on to our next part, I grew up in church just like yourself. Mm-hmm. I had parents that made the choice to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what a blessing that is for me. I've shared it from the pulpit and on other podcasts as well. So I reap the benefits of their choices.
Sure.
Just like you've experienced yourself.
Yeah.
In saying that, growing up in church, you don't always appreciate church. Or maybe it's much appreciation, but maybe you're... maybe don't fully understand. I guess as a child and a teenager, it's, you know, you're a bit silly or whatever it might be. That was definitely for me. I just couldn't understand it. But I remember at 13 years of age, I experienced God when I really felt to give my life to Christ.
Yeah.
Didn't really follow on from that. But when I was 17, there was sort of something cemented in my life where I'm like, I'm not turning back from this.
Yeah.
This is... did you ever have any of those experiences in your life? Do you remember that point where...
I think I had multiple times. You know, God's very gracious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he comes and reveals himself to us. We're so moved, we'll never be the same again. And then we're the same again in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, see, that's what happens.
But, for me, I guess the best way I could put it was, being a pastor's kid, I had religion.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was a set of rules I had to follow because Mum and Dad told me to.
Yeah.
And I hadn't yet experienced this real relationship with God myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I one thing I never wanted to do was be a pastor.
Mm.
I grew up in the church thinking, you know, well, yeah, Dad's a pastor. I don't want to be that. I want to be a millionaire. you know, but I think there were multiple times again where God showed himself real to me. I think the first time I ever responded to an appeal to give your heart to Jesus, the best way I could explain it at that time was probably 5 at a kids' camp. I remember it because I remember going in the front and crying. Something very real I felt I didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, having been in church and having pastors come and preach, and I probably responded at different times in services, but I was about the same age, mate, probably about 17.
Yeah.
where I decided this has got to be more than just a religious habit for me. Mm. There's something my parents have modeled to me that is more than just coming to church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's, and I think it was when I realized that becoming a Christian is more than just getting a ticket to heaven, making sure I don't go to hell, you know? It's understanding that the verse where it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
So I had the belief that God raised him from the dead, but I hadn't made him the Lord Jesus Christ, which is making him the boss.
Yeah.
I was happy to have him as my saviour, but not my boss.
Yeah.
Save me, but don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And when I finally got it at about 17 that, hey, if I submit my life to Christ, that's real rubber meets the road relationship with him. That's real Christianity.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think the power comes to living. It's an upside down faith.
Yes.
It's just, you know, I mean, I still struggle with being a Christian, I'm honest. Like, when I say not the belief side of things, the practice.
Yeah.
When someone does me wrong, I'm supposed to bless them.
Yeah.
And I want to bless them sometimes with a brick. You know, I still struggle with those fleshly things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I hear the stories of persecuted people who have gone through absolute hell on earth.
Yeah.
I met some here in Logan Home recently, and I'm not going to say where because I don't want to identify them, but
they went
through absolute hell on earth where a family member was macheted to death and they were beaten and abused themselves before they made their way to Australia. And their heart's desire is to become whole so they can go back to the country that they were so badly persecuted in to share the love of Jesus with the people who persecuted them.
That's unreal.
I've had some bad things happen to me in the last 5 years in my own city. Mm. I see those people now, and you know, I know this is being recorded, but I don't mind saying I'd love to go and sometimes take revenge.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I have to fight those feelings.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what Christianity is really, you know, the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
This upside down faith.
Yeah.
To become rich, you must give.
Yep.
You know, to be forgiven, you must first forgive.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's probably 17 I started to realise that and work out how to live that out every day.
Mm. I mean, we look at the life of Christ. Mm. We sort of want to be like Jesus, walk around, miracles, preach amazing sermons and all this sort of stuff. But we quite often fail to see of how surrendered he was to the will of God.
Totally.
I mean, he was in the garden saying, Lord, basically, I don't want to do this, right? Basically. Yet he still did it.
Yeah.
And so I think if everyone's open and honest about their Christian walk, there's always going to be something we're trying to overcome.
Yeah.
Always. Until the day we die, there will always be something that we will try and overcome. Like my wife was heavily persecuted at her workplace. And one thing, it doesn't make sense. We're like, why? Like, this does not make sense. It hasn't done anything wrong. Like, why is someone after her so bad? And yeah, there was an absence of love, I can tell you that much. And then it's like, okay, well, this is where I'm really at right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a real thing. And to try and even think of speaking well of that person, it's like, nah, I don't want to. So, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
But there's such freedom in surrender.
Totally.
Like we talk about grace. If we want to experience grace, well, that comes down to, Lord, all right, this isn't about me or how I feel. This is about your will, your word, what your word says for my life. And we saw a miracle take place with a work situation.
Awesome. Yeah.
But I really believe it first came to us just being able to, all right, well, we're not going to live in the flesh in this situation. Lord, if you're going to fix it, we at least have to be obedient to a few things you want us to do.
Yeah.
But upside down faith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's hard sometimes. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we do everything because we're so trained transactionally. If I do this, you'll do this.
Yeah, true.
God's transaction with us, if we want to make it sound really bad as a transaction, but he's not transactional, he's relational.
Yeah.
So he gave his son that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life, right? Mm. But he did it even if we didn't respond.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I'll do this for you as long as you do this for me.
Yeah.
And if we can love people, even if they never love us back.
Mm.
I often think to myself, and I used to meet with pastors a lot in my role in council, and even when I was running the church not far from here.
Yeah.
And often our focus was, how do we reach people in our community, and would we love them even if they didn't come to our church?
Mm.
Would we serve them even if they didn't come to our church?
Yeah, wow.
Because to me, that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He loved and served people.
Yeah.
God loved and served us
yeah.
by giving his son,
yeah.
even though he knew we're not even going to take up our side of it.
That's right.
And I think that that's the power of even the message of a lot of the persecuted believers that I hear their stories. They're loving people that may never find faith in Christ,
wow.
but they're prepared to do that.
Yeah. yeah.
And even if it costs them their life,
yeah.
they're prepared to do that, which is a picture of who Jesus is. He willingly went to the cross. He was never guaranteed of any of us.
No. No, that's right.
Receiving that gift yeah. from him.
Yeah. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ mm-hmm. died for us.
Yep.
He didn't wait for us to go, yeah, okay, I'm ready now. And then, yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you know, back to your original question, I know I've wavered from it.
No, it's all good.
I'm the wrong person to stay on track. I'm chasing possums.
You don't have to be a preacher, eh?
But I mean, for me, I was the same as you, mate. Probably 17 till I really got on board, and then by 19 years of age, I was a youth pastor at our church and worked for the next 20 something years in the church.
Yeah, wow, incredible. Mm. And I take it you've seen a lot of great things, a lot of hardships. I mean, hardships and great things run side by side in church. Like we've experienced when we've gone through hardships, whether it be in a personal situation or in a church situation, God's always on the other side making something better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just find that incredible. It's just amazing how that works. Mm. Sometimes it might be like, all right, there's a hard time and then there's a season of blessing. But a lot of the time we've seen them go at the same time.
Sure.
And it's just unbelievable. Like,
yep.
sometimes I've realized, well, I actually never noticed it until I've gone through the season and then come out of it and go, well, actually, we've actually prospered in this area. God's really prospered us or built this up, or we've gained financial strength or support or grown in numbers or whatever it might be. But sometimes it wasn't until a year after and we actually go, oh, wow, we actually grew in this area. Like, God, thank you.
That's a great point, Gus. I think, too, like when they run side by side, we're not naturally drawn to look at the positive.
True.
Our mind is always taken and distracted by the negative that's going on.
Yeah.
And even though there's good things happening side by side, we don't see it.
Yep.
So I think, you know, the lesson I'm taking away from what you've dropped into my spirit right now is, even in the midst of some of the things I'm facing in this moment, I just need to shift my focus off the negative because there are things running side by side with that. That'll preach, mate.
Yeah.
No, that's such an amazing... I've just been listening to you guys because... it's a lot of wisdom being talked here and I'm just trying to reflect in my life because for me for a long time my vocabulary was I will do this if God does this and that changed quickly to I will do this because God has done this
true
so that's
good.
It's a big change in my life that has happened and I see that like how God works and I see that change in vocabulary. Of course it's a when you receive the Holy Spirit, everything changes.
Yeah.
But I can see that in many other people that are persecuted. And that change of heart that, you know, as you say, they go to so many extent to do things for God and they don't care.
Yeah.
Like I've personally experienced that from stories my parents have told me about people who are persecuted in India.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they've gone to, you know, to a place where they don't care about their life, but they care about what matters, and that's the word of God. And it's just truly really amazing how that kind of attitude changes everyone, shows people love, and shows that you know Jesus is real. So yeah, this is a great conversation. I'm enjoying this, but we'll have to come back to the
interview
now. Open Doors. So you're working with Open Doors now.
Yes. Yeah.
But how did you get into this position? Like, was it like a journey, or have you, like, did you always want to do these kind of like roles with Open Doors, you know, work with persecuted churches?
No, I'd be lying if I said yes. It would be a lot more romantic to say, oh yes, this has always been the desire of my heart. But I think, you know, the thing that I'm committed to in my life is the Word of God. And one of the things that I know is the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm a good man, but I'm a man who tries to be good.
Yeah.
And God orders your steps.
Yeah.
And he knows what we need at certain times. I've always had a heart as a Christian leader to motivate believers to look outside themselves.
Mm.
When I was pastoring a church, I think the greatest frustration for me was, even in my own self, I would become so navel-gazing at times, you know. We became so Sunday-centric in our worship practices, our Christian faith. And so for me, I was always pushing myself and the church to be looking outside the four walls of the church to understand that our Sunday expression is just one part of our Christian walk.
Yeah.
That led me to a different career path and things. But I think this role found me more than I found it.
Yeah, wow.
I'd been through a season of injustice myself, which we don't have time to talk about today.
Yeah.
That would be a 25-part series for you if I was to go into detail. I'm not joking. But some very real injustice happened in our own family, and it's been a 5-6 year journey where we still haven't found the end of that yet. But that injustice gave me an experience that gave me empathy with people who were going through injustice.
Yeah, wow.
And so this job really found me at a time where I needed the provision of God, both financially and for a job. And it came when I wasn't, I had another role, but this just came up at the right time and gave me the opportunity to motivate believers here in Australia to look outside themselves. And it's discipled me and helped me put some understanding and meaning to perhaps the injustice and persecution that I've been through myself in the last season of my life.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Not saying that I face what our persecuted brothers and sisters have, but it's given me a little bit of understanding of what they go through, and it's helped clarify some things in my own head about my faith around Christians and suffering. So it's just a beautiful opportunity.
Yeah, wow. That's incredible. I think I sort of feel like, oh, you're saying how it's hit the family. I sort of feel like I could go through a lot if it was just me, like if I didn't have a wife and kids. But the moment that like a persecution starts hitting home, I think that's where I would really, really struggle. I don't think, like, I don't think I'd be able to handle it, but I mean, by God's grace, we can go through a lot more than we can ever. But I think when it, the greatest thing for especially a husband, a father, when Satan really wants to hit home, that's heavy. And looking at some of the people that you've met or heard stories from Open Doors, these are people that have wives and kids and everything like that that don't see them anymore, that are locked in jail indefinitely, and that's faith on a whole new level for me personally.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd go with that, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope we never have to experience it.
Yeah.
But I'm also committed to the belief that, you know, when the word says God's grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in our weakness.
In our weakness, yeah.
We can't understand right now.
No.
And hope we never have to find out. But in the midst of those times, I believe he gives us a gift of grace for that moment.
Yep.
So we can look at people and go, you know, like that video we watched of Helen.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he gave her a gift of grace in the midst of that to not only survive, but to continue to say the name of Jesus.
Wow.
Continue to share his love with the people that were torturing her.
Unbelievable.
And like, I'd be looking around the room for a sharp implement. you know, I think I've watched too many Mission Impossible things now. Yeah. But like, I'll be looking for a sharp implement and show them grace of Steve, you know. Yeah. But his grace is sufficient for us, and he gives us that gift in the midst of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it comes and touches our family, then in the midst of that, he would give that to them as well.
Mm.
And us.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
So I like how you, you know, how God put you in this position because, yep. you know, you got persecuted in some way and you got into an organization that helps persecution.
Mm.
So I'm sure you have a lot of stories from Open Doors that you yourself have experienced. And, you know, I would like you to share with us, you know, some of the stories of others who've gone through persecution. Of course, we'll be very careful about the names and everything. We totally understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a lot of viewers, we just want a bit of perspective on what goes on in the world. Because to me, staying here, and, you know, I hear about persecution, but I don't hear, you know, to what extent people go through these persecution. Mm. And I know deep down in my heart that it's we're blessed to be in a country like Australia.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
But it's not the same in other countries.
No, that's right.
And you guys have 70 countries. So.
Well, yeah, there's 70 countries that Open Doors are ministering to through local church members on the ground or Christian partners. And the stories we hear about back from our field workers are just heartbreaking.
Mm.
So right now in Nigeria, which is a country that is 46% Christian.
Wow.
Nigeria is 46% Christian, but it's number 6 on the world watch list for the most dangerous places on the planet to be a Christian.
Wow.
In fact, the persecution is measured two ways, through smash and squeeze. Smash is the violence that's perpetrated.
Okay.
And squeeze is the pressure that comes to your life. So like, for example, you know, you become a Christian in the north of India. You put your hand up to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. That doesn't mean that you'll be persecuted just for that decision. It means that your wife and your family will no longer have access to medical. You'll no longer have access to education like everybody else.
Wow.
You probably won't get a job. So that's the pressure side.
Yeah.
The violent side is... off the Richter scale in Nigeria. More people died in Nigeria for their faith in the last 12-month period that we know of than the rest of the world combined.
Are you kidding me?
So, it's at the moment, as we speak today in November 2024, there are 16.5 million displaced Christians in Nigeria living in displacement camps because they've been run off their land, their property, they've been chased by Islamic militants who want to come and take their lives.
That's like 2/3 of Australia, almost. Wow.
That's 16.2 million Christians, and they live in these displacement camps, and a family of five will live in a 1.5 by 1.5 tent in a compound that is reasonably safe, but there's no food. So the men generally have to go outside of that to try and find work, and they can do a day's work and not even get enough money to feed their family for one day. So this is the type of persecution that people are facing in countries that are 46% Christian. You know, it just beggars belief to us that you can face that sort of... just for being a Christian.
Yeah.
And they will come to the door, and some of these... militant extremist groups will actually send lists to communities and say, we're coming to kill these people. So they either flee and go to these displacement camps, or they stay and fight. Wow. Or they don't even fight sometimes. They just stay and hope that it will work out. So that's one part of what's going on. That's a very broad statement of something that's going on the ground in Nigeria.
Wow.
North Korea is the most dangerous place.
That's number one.
That's number one. When you combine the smash and squeeze together.
Yeah.
We have a story, it's not her real name, but Jiho, a video. Her dad was found to have a Bible and he's been taken and they've never seen him again.
Mm.
There is hard labor camps where Christians are taken, and they may, some have been released. There's another story of a young man who has been taken and released on four occasions, but he's seen over 50 of his, friends and family who have lost their lives, and he's a young man. Yeah. So they're the sort of stories that we hear. Another person in Southeast Asia, communist country, was a decorated war veteran, wasn't a believer in Christ, but was engaged by the government to be essentially a spy, to shadow a pastor, to report back to the authorities what his movements were, so that they could come and persecute that minister.
Unreal.
Take him, put him in prison for a ransom that the then church congregants would come and pay so they could find out who the congregants were. Yeah. It's quite amazing. Wow. We see persecution through the eyes of what it looks like to us.
Mm.
You know, I remember Easter time, our own church had four opportunities to go to church to celebrate Easter, and we as a family chose the one that suits us, or that suited us to go.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to three of the four.
Yeah.
In a lot of these countries, they choose to go to church not knowing if they're going to come home.
Yeah.
You know, but the great part in all of this, if I can even say it that way, is the testimonies we hear are not just the testimonies of the persecution, but the testimonies of God's power being made perfect in their weakness.
Yeah.
Where God shows himself strong, where he brings healing and wholeness to people, where they feel like they couldn't do it on their own.
Yeah.
So another young man, and again, it's not his real name, but I can share, because it's a public video. His name in the video is Ayuba, and his family, again in Nigeria, were a family that had been earmarked to be taken out.
Mm.
They came to get them one day in the dark of night, and so they all fled, this young man and his siblings. But I think it was his dad stayed. Some of the family stayed. And in the midst of that, they took his father's life.
Oh.
And so this young man came back to his community and basically said, you know, I'm not renouncing my faith in Christ, but I'm going to take revenge on people who did this to him.
Mm.
And through the generosity of people like your church and other churches that have supported Open Doors, we've been able to set up trauma centres.
Oh, beautiful.
Because the thing is, you can find healing with your body.
Yeah.
But you still have triggers in your mind.
Yep.
And so this young man and his siblings were given the opportunity to go and get regular treatment at this trauma centre.
Yeah.
Wow. And his testimony is, I came here with the thought that one day I will take revenge for my father's death.
Mm.
But now I've understood the grace of God and his forgiveness in my life. So I've laid down my right for revenge.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's an incredible
powerful story. I mean, I still get goosebumps when I think about it.
Wow.
I didn't tell it very well, but, you know, that's the sort of difference that we can see the generosity in prayer and giving of finance is making in the lives of people.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about your own life. If you walk around with bitterness of something that has been unjust in your life, that person who has perpetrated that against you is not suffering.
No, that's right.
You are.
Yeah.
So this young man and his siblings have been able to get ongoing treatment and support.
Yeah.
So Open Doors has the ability to do what we've always done, which we started in 1955. Our founder, Brother Andrew, started smuggling Bibles across the border into Eastern Europe.
Wow.
VW. He'd pack Bibles in the language of the country he was going to and go to the border. He'd pray the smuggler's prayer. God, you've made blind eyes see, now make seeing eyes blind. And he took tens of thousands of Bibles across the border and gave them to people
in
churches there. So we continue to give Bibles into countries where they need them, because the word of God is powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in the hands of believers, it's just such a strength to them. And so $20 can put a Bible in the hands of a believer in a country in a form that they need it.
Yeah, wow.
So we do that. We provide discipleship material, training for people to become leaders and pastors in churches.
Wow.
We even run programs of persecution preparedness training, run by people who have written it, who have been through it. Wow. On the ground, so that for people who become believers and followers of Jesus Christ, this is what you can expect and this is how we should respond.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know,
because
us here, we think, okay, if someone comes in, I'm going to take them out.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of stories we've heard is when people have been chased by their persecutors and they don't respond, they don't know what to do. It's
really?
Almost like they're disarmed because they're expecting a fight.
Yeah.
And the believers turn around and they keep saying to them, Jesus loves you, and speaking the name of Jesus, like Helen's story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they let them go.
Wow.
And so persecution preparedness training, microloans, and the ability to get communities back up and going.
Yeah.
Again, different groups, militant groups come in and totally destroy communities where Christians live. They'll take them away or chase them away, burn everything to the ground.
Mm.
We set up opportunities where people can start a business.
Incredible.
To, you know, make money. Because some of them, they want to stay and share the love of Jesus with people.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely.
It just blows my mind.
Do you ever, like, because you obviously know tons and tons of stories.
Mm.
Do you ever still just stop one day and just think, like, do you struggle to fathom that this happens?
Yes.
Like, because just hearing these stories now, I'm just trying to picture people going through this. It's like, this is almost like a movie. Like, obviously growing up in Australia, like we've never experienced, but I struggle to fathom that this actually takes place.
Well, yeah, I do too. But I also understand why the governments don't want this sort of stuff on the news.
Yeah.
Because people don't respond in the way that we're taught to respond as Christians,
yeah.
Not to take revenge.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it blows my mind. Okay, let's talk about a hotspot in the world right now. What's going on in Israel?
Okay.
Right? I'm not going to make political comment on that.
Mm.
But if you were to talk to a lot of Christians, they think this is the hotspot where everything is just blowing, not literally, but it is, but blowing up in the world, right?
Yeah.
They're not even the top 50 of the world watch list,
yeah,
of persecution for Christians.
Yeah.
They're not even in it.
Yeah, wow.
If you look at what's going on there and what's going on the news, and we see the devastation that's happening both sides of that.
Yeah.
And then you look at, there's at least 50 other countries that it's more dangerous to be a believer, and the persecution that's going on, that kind of gives us some sort of concept of what we don't know.
Yes, very true. Yeah.
What we don't know. I mean, yeah. I heard a story, not a story, his story,
yeah,
the other day of a persecuted believer who was converted from being an imam.
Wow.
When his family found out, they broke his arms, his legs and his ribs and left him to die.
Unreal.
He's basically lives moving every 2 months now, but he's planted 30 churches, and he just believes that God is with him. And, you know, this grace we were talking about before,
yeah,
is just on his life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hate the people that have done this. He loves them.
Yeah.
And he wants them to find,
yeah,
what he's found.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess this has been the underlying theme through the whole podcast is grace to get us through, really.
Yeah.
It just keeps popping up throughout the whole thing. And
yeah.
I really feel for our viewers, regardless of what you're facing, God's grace is more than enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His grace is more than enough to get it. Yeah, sufficient. It's there.
And that's important, I think, Gus, because sometimes we hear this stuff and we think, oh, well, I can't complain anymore. God doesn't, my stuff right down here. God doesn't measure it that way.
No, that's true.
He cares about what you and I are going through just as much as he cares about what's going on there.
Yes.
I mean, he takes persecution personally.
Yeah.
If you think about Saul on the road to Damascus,
mm-hmm,
where he was riding along and he's knocked off his donkey onto his ass,
yeah,
you know, he knocked off his donkey onto the ground, and then Jesus appears to him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?"
Yeah,
he'd been persecuting believers, but Jesus takes it personally.
Exactly.
So yes, he takes it personally when people are persecuted for being followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he cares more about that than the difficulties we find ourselves in and your viewers are finding themselves in.
Yeah, exactly.
So that grace that we've been talking about today is sufficient for them too.
Yep.
So they might be sitting at home right now listening to this going, well, I'm having trouble at home with my family. Or, well, God cares about that too.
Absolutely.
And if you just reach out to him right now, he can give you a gift of grace.
Yeah.
He can do a miracle in your situation just like we have been talking about for our persecuted brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And I know that we have faith here to believe for them.
Yes.
Just as much as we do for the persecuted believers. And so, yeah, as much as I'm an advocate for our persecuted brothers and sisters in the world, I'm also an advocate for people that are going through injustice and suffering here.
Yeah.
That God's grace is sufficient for you too. Mm-hmm. And his power can be made perfect in your weakness today. And so we speak that over their situation now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. That's incredible.
That's incredible, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that was very powerful. I mean, ever since we started this podcast, you know, we've seen so many, like, it's just been flowing. The Holy Spirit's helped us flow through conversations and everything.
Yeah, it's been great.
So I love it. I love when a podcast is, you know, just this real conversation and talking about, you know, real situation, which persecution is real to some people think it's not, but I assure you it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're coming towards the end of the show now, but, you know, we'll give you an opportunity to talk to our viewers and share what's in your heart. But where do you see yourself with Open Doors going into the future?
Well, I'd like to think that I could connect more with churches around Queensland and Western Australia, which is my area of responsibility, and to share the stories and the mission of Open Doors and get or give the opportunity for churches to partner with us.
Yeah.
You know, I used to feel very awkward about asking that question because, you know, people say, oh, you're just after money. Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I'm unashamed that we need more resource to reach the 365 million persecuted brothers and sisters in the world to strengthen them as they stand for Jesus.
Mm.
And giving is a supernatural act.
Yeah, definitely.
Some people think ministry is when you stand on a stage with a microphone in your hand. That's one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us the ability to create wealth. And if you have the wherewithal to give and you give as unto the Lord, not because you've heard a sad story, but you've listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you're obedient to him, then he will take care of you and he will bless you for it.
Mm.
And so I would like to think that there are more churches out there that can partner with us.
Yeah.
I know that you guys as a church have done that. And I'm very thankful for that. But just in the perspective of the enormity of the need, there's 365 million, and I believe that we're reaching about somewhere between 8 and 9 million of those people right now to strengthen them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that means that we have a long way to go.
Yep.
But I'm believing that God is faithful to his word and that he will provide resource for us.
Yeah.
But I just believe that we will continue to grow as a ministry to get more momentum as we share these stories for people to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And can I say, finance is the secondary thing. I would love to think that more people will just take on the heart to pray.
Yeah.
Our persecuted brothers and sisters have said these words in almost every field that our team have gone to. Please pray for us because when you pray, miracles happen.
Wow.
So when we pray here, we don't see what's going on,
but
there's miracles happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's how I want to engage as many people as I can working with Open Doors, whether that's the leaders of churches or people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, to pray. Get onto the Open Doors website, find out the countries that we're working in. You've heard me say the world watch list a number of times. Every year that's brought out. Go onto the website, find out who those countries are. Sign up for the prayer updates. They'll send them to your phone and pray in your own devotional time. You might think it's just me, but the prayer of one person can change a city of 100,000 when God moves.
Yeah.
And if we look at it that way, so that's, I mean, I'll do this until God moves me somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not looking to go somewhere else, but that's how I see us continuing to move forward.
Yeah.
And I just think the more times we can have the vehicle to tell the story, the more people are aware. That's really important. So I'm thankful for this opportunity today.
Oh, no, that's great. Be here. Yeah. So viewers, jump on the Open Doors website, read it. Is there a donate area in there as well?
Yeah.
Donate if the Lord's put it on your heart. Add Open Doors to your church prayer meeting. So every time you meet up weekly for prayer, make sure Open Doors is one of those prayer points as well. There's power when the church comes together to
Absolutely.
Pray as well. So,
absolutely. We had 900 churches this weekend joined together for the International Day of Prayer across Australia and New Zealand.
Isn't that cool?
I can't wait to hear the testimonies of what's happened.
Yes.
You know, 900 churches said we will stop either in our Sunday service or our small groups or our prayer meetings this week and pray for persecuted brothers and sisters. We were aiming for 500.
Oh.
900 churches across Australia and New Zealand. I was at a church yesterday where they had a half-hour prayer meeting before the service for it. Over 100 people came out to the prayer meeting, and it ended up rolling into the morning service. Went for 45 minutes.
Wow.
But so prayer helps. So, yeah, please jump on.
Yep.
Start praying.
Excellent. Yep.
Great. Thank you, Steve, for being on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
What we like to do towards the end of the show is give you an opportunity to say something that's in your heart to our viewers. You can look at the camera, you can tell us whatever you're comfortable with, and also pray for our show. And, you know, pray for the ministry we're doing, because God's blessed us so much.
Yeah.
And when we started this podcast, just as a background, I know some of our viewers already know this story. We came up with this idea in one of the fast food chain restaurants, sitting down and just saying, hey, I think we need to do something. And it was in my heart, like both of our hearts, to do the podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw a lot of, like, you know, Satan coming in the midst of that, trying to stop that from happening. And we've come so far just by the grace of God again, and through his calling to do this. Like, I'm just thinking about probably maybe 6 or 7 months back, we would have never thought we'd be doing this right now.
Definitely.
And I think, like, God's really taken us to another level when it comes to this podcast, and we're so grateful to share your vision of Open Door through our podcast. And we know it's going to reach out to many people.
Brilliant.
So pray for us.
I will.
All right,
so if there's anything you'd like to say to our viewers, anything on your heart, just go right ahead.
Well, I'll look down the barrel. For those of you who are watching today, thank you for taking the time to listen to this. But I just want to reiterate that God has heard every one of your prayers. He cares about every one of your needs. And for those of you who have been struggling in faith, you've been praying and you haven't seen what you're believing for yet, keep believing. Your faith is strong. Sometimes we rate our faith on whether God answers our prayer or not. That's not how it works. God is hearing everything that you have prayed. He's with you. He's closer than your breath. And I just want to encourage you to continue on in faith. Faith is mountain-moving faith, but it's also enduring faith. And both of those please God. As you continue to endure, he's with you every step of the way. And don't give up, because today could be the day for your miracle. And so I'm going to pray with my eyes open for you right now. God, I pray for every person that is listening to this podcast today, watching this podcast today, that you would give them the gift of grace in the midst of their trial. You would give them the gift of faith in the midst of what they're facing right now. And that you would do a supernatural miracle. For those who need a creative miracle in their body, I pray for healing and wholeness now in Jesus' name. For those who need a miracle of provision, I pray that you would show yourself strong as Jehovah Jireh, the God who is more than enough. And for those who are believing for restoration of a family situation, a relationship, God, I pray that you would be with those people. God, you care about those loved ones even more than they do, which is hard to understand, but you do. And so, God, I pray you'd move in those situations. And when you do, we'll be very careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. And God, we also pray for this podcast. What an incredible vehicle, an opportunity that you have given these two men of God. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to bless them with great favor. You'd continue to bless this podcast with great favor. It would go out to people who need it at the right time. Sometimes we think prophecy is for that moment, but sometimes we can record things that are actually the word of God. When the person clicks on it and listens to it, it's exactly the word of God they need at that time. So I pray for incredible provision and opportunity and right connections as well, that you'd bring the right people to be on this podcast that would share a heart of faith, Lord, as you've placed it in the hearts of these two men. God, that this would go beyond even their wildest prayers and expectation to be a blessing not only to the body of Christ, but to the whole community and perhaps world as we know it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Steve, for joining us. And thank you all for being part of this show. We truly appreciate your time, the, you know, the support you give us, the prayers you give us. And please don't fail to reach out to us. You can always reach out through our email, which definitely will be displayed down there or towards the end of the show. But thank you again for joining us, and we look forward for you guys to join us again on a new episode of Real Talk Friday.
As we conclude our episode of Real Talk Friday, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to all our listeners for joining us on this enlightening journey.
But our journey doesn't end here. Join us every Friday as we continue to uncover the real stories of real people, where authenticity intersects with spirituality in profound ways. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of life, finding inspiration and hope in the remarkable narrative shared within the walls of Logan City Christian Church.
Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, may your faith journey be filled with grace, understanding, and the unwavering presence of God. Stay tuned for more Real Talk every Friday on Real Talk Friday.